Good morning, everyone. So glad to be here to worship today, to worship our Lord, to enjoy this day that He has given to us. You're worshiping at the Covenant Church of Thomaston. We welcome everyone, anyone who is new. Our pastor is away this week. He is with his mother in Chicago. She has some eye surgery coming up. He'll be back midweek. And Lisa is also away, his wife. She's up in Maine. I'd love to be up in Maine. But she's doing a class. She's going to probably bring that home for us to do at some point. So that's all great stuff. Welcome everybody who's here, who came to first service, who's listening again. For all our people downstairs, we do have some who are special needs, and they're in the fellowship. So anytime you think you want to join them to see what they do, feel free. One of these days, they'll be upstairs with us again. So our announcements for today. A specific one from Gina Whaley, who is in charge of our nursery. We need helpers. If you love babies, sign up. She needs you desperately. We need people who are willing to step in and care for the little ones during our time of worship. So see Gina, call Gina. Her information is certainly in the directory. So sign up, fill it up so that we have people who there. And you can hear the service in the nursery. So don't think you're going to miss out on hearing what's going on here. So that's always a good thing. Be sure to read. I always miss something. So be sure to read your bulletin. Don't leave it on the bench. Take it home with you so you know what's going on this week. That would be great. So let us join together with our entry.
Thank you. was great.
Join me in our call to worship. Make joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God.
It is he who made us. We are his.
We are his people, sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. Join us again in song. God, We are so small. You are so big. You have blessed us. You have given us life, unexpected and undeserved. Lord, how awesome you are. We speak of your faithfulness. We have trouble assuming your truth and your trust, Lord, but you are there. You are in this walk with us, and you never fail us. You are brilliant in wisdom, abounding in understanding. Lord, be in us that we can mimic that in a way that draws others to us. You are so gracious. You paid a cost beyond belief. Sometimes we don't understand, but you did it anyway. You gave your son. He paid for us with every stripe, with every drop of bloodshed. How awesome is your name in all the universe and here on this earth. How awesome is your name. We pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our readings this morning come from the book of Psalms, 105, verses 1 through 6 and 37 through 45, found in your pew Bibles on page 484. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him praises, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Then he brought Israel out with silver and gold, and there was no one among their tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread of them had fallen upon it. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light by night, and they asked, and he brought quails and gave them food from heaven in abundance. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham, his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the wealth of the peoples, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. Second reading is Exodus 16, verses 2 through 15, found in your pew Bibles on page 55. The whole congregation of Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Excuse me. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Oh, then the Lord said to Moses, I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them, whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on any other day. And Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against him. For what we are, that you complain against us. And Moses said, when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, you shall, and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him. What are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise. Lord.
Chilly this morning, right? I know. Okay. So, what Anne read in the
They didn't want to leave you. Good morning, everyone. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that we can worship you and praise your holy name. And Lord, we thank you for your promises and your faithfulness to each one of us. Holy Spirit, I ask that you come and you be with us, that you just open our hearts wide to receive the special message that you have for each one of us today. And I praise you for all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a dear friend who has one of the most amazing senses of humor that I've ever met. She's that type of laugh where once you start, you just can't stop. And no matter how much in a rut you are, she could just pull you out just with her laughter. And she has a lot to celebrate in her life because she has been freed from so many things. And really, her life is a walking testimony of the power of God and what true freedom of Christ looks like in our lives. Well, one day she was having a bad day, and she called me and she told me about this day. And it was that kind of day where everything that could go wrong went wrong. And the straw that broke the camel's back was a trip to Aldi's. She pretty much had a meltdown at Aldi's. She was there with her two twin daughters, who were the youngest of four children, and she is trying with everything in her to hold it together to at least make it to the parking lot. And so she does when she gets the kids in the car, and as all of you know, Aldi's does not bag your groceries. So she is throwing in her trunk, cucumbers are flying, lettuce is flying, cereal's going, bananas are flying apart, the whole nine yards. And as she's telling this story, we're laughing hysterically because the way she tells a story is like no another. And you know, you go through that all, and then you all take that deep breath, and you're like, and then there's a moment. And then she says to me, you know what was the worst part of that whole experience? It wasn't that I made a complete fool out of myself in front of everybody. It was that I acted like my old self. I acted like the person I was before I met Jesus. And I know better. All those things Jesus freed me from is what I returned to and I acted like. And I saw, she said, I saw it coming. I saw the flashing red lights and I heard the sirens and the Holy Spirit saying, trying to rein me back in. But I just wanted to give into my flesh, and I did. And she said it felt so good. And we laugh because we know sometimes giving into our flesh feels so good. And she said that in that, it was such a comfort to her that she didn't want to let go of this temper tantrum because it felt good. And she said, you know, as I had gone through the day and felt bad and that I needed to repent, and I did. She said, I just became so sad because I'm a new creation in Christ. But she gave into her flesh to hold on to that old self. That freedom that Christ had given her, she laid down for a moment so that she could pick up the chains of her past because it was comfortable, because it felt good, and just simply because she wanted to. Now, as I'm telling you this story, you probably all can think of moments that you have experienced the same thing. Maybe some of you have lost it and publicly. Maybe some of you have said things you wish you didn't or done things you wish you didn't. And I'm sure that all this has happened after you knew Christ, just like my friend. And I tell you this story not to make you feel bad, but I tell you so that you can soften your hearts, so that you can start to understand and relate to some of the struggles that the Israelites were going through. Because it's very easy for us to look back at their situation and say, really, you didn't see that coming? But they had temper tantrums. They certainly had temper tantrums, and they hung on to the things of their past. They were given the gift of freedom, but they couldn't lay down the chains of their past to pick up the freedom that God himself was handing right to them. Today, Pastor Ann read from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. If you jump back to verse 1,
It tells you that it's been about a month and a half, so about 45 days since the Israelites had left Egypt. And if you look back a few more verses into chapter 15, you'll read about how they were praising God, praising Him and dancing and just having wonderful celebrations for all that God had just brought them through. And then go back to 16 and read, and you start reading about the complaining and the grumbling. And then you realize that in just 45 days out of slavery, the Israelites' hearts were already turning against God. Now, the book of Exodus is probably my favorite book in the entire Bible, and some of you will ask me why. But it is my favorite book, and it just fascinates me. And sometimes I can't even fathom how miraculous these works of miracles that God did, what lengths He went to free His people. He was determined to free His people. And He did such amazing things to protect them and to lead them out, literally lead them out of their bondage. But the story makes me sad because how quickly those miracles became common. His presence became so ordinary, yet their grumblings became so frequent. Couldn't they see what was happening? Couldn't they see those flashing red lights and hear those loud sirens going off? And then the Holy Spirit is very quick to remind me how easy it is for all of us to fall into that same trap. How easy it is for us to just give into our own wills and our own fears, even after we've seen the very miracles of God work in our own lives. Yet God is so faithful. His faithfulness to Israel delivered them from their slavery. He gave them His protection, His love, His devotion, and His true faithfulness. Just like Antoinette showed on the hand, all those promises, He did every single one. And He still does those today. We still have them. That hand is for us today too. Those are promises for us. Yet we still wrestle with the same tactics of Satan as they did. Satan comes in and he tries to make us long for those things of the past, long for those very things that God has freed us from. He tries to get us to embrace those things again, to enslave us, to miss out on God and all the goodness that God has in store for us. There was a time in the book of Exodus, if you'll read through it, that the Israelites actually thought it was better in Egypt as slaves, just so they could eat meat and bread. They were willing to sell out the freedom God had given them. And in just 45 days, they forgot how brutal the conditions were as slaves. In 45 days, they forgot how God spared them from the plagues and parted the seas to bring them out of Egypt. How quickly do we forget? How many times do we look back on something and think, oh, that really wasn't that bad. Maybe I should go back to that or continue that. God wants to free us from that bondage, just like He wanted to desperately free the Israelites from theirs. In Romans chapter 6 and 7, Paul talks at great lengths about being free from our sin. No longer being slaves to sin. And then he gives us a warning in 1 Corinthians 7:23 that we were bought with a very hefty price. And we should not allow ourselves to become slaves to man. When we said yes to Jesus, we were marked and sealed. Our place in eternity was secured. It was a done deal. But Jesus said in John 10:10 that I came to give life and life more abundantly. And the key word in that verse is and. And means there's more. So the cross came and it gave us life. But that wasn't the end. Jesus said a more abundant life. And an abundant life includes freedom. When we choose any other way but God's, we willingly put ourselves in the position to become slaves. We willingly do that by choosing our own way, to giving in because maybe it just feels good, or maybe it's easier. But that's not what abundant life is. An abundant life includes freedom. God wanted the Israelites to have freedom, but they refused. They refused to let go of their past and trust God with their future. It was more comfortable to hold on to the past. It was so comfortable that they wanted to go back. In 45 days, they were ready to go back. And actually, I think if you read earlier in Exodus, it was probably sooner than 45 days that they were ready to go back. And there's no doubt change is hard. It forces us to face fears. And when change comes, inevitably there is a loss. We have to let go of something to embrace the new. But that change doesn't have to be bad. Change doesn't equal bad. Letting go doesn't equal bad. But if we don't open our hands to let go of the things that God wants to free us from, how can we grab on to the things that God wants to bless us with or God wants to give us? We can't. I saw this quote on the internet, and I don't know who the author is, but it hit me because I've done this myself, and I think we all probably can say this. It says, stop looking for happiness in the same place you lost it. How many times do we go back to the same places that bring us so much hurt? Because it's easier or more familiar, or it's more comfortable than letting go. How often do we take the comfortable path because the fear of the unknown is too great? We've all failed in our past, and we're going to fail in our future. But here's the good news. Our failures do not have to keep us in bondage. Our failures are opportunities for God to teach us and mold us, opportunities for God to show his faithfulness to us and then show the world around us his faithfulness through us. God's faithfulness is not affected by your disobedience or your obedience. His love and his faithfulness remains despite where we are in our lives. Now, the Israelites' lives and their children's lives were greatly affected by their choices. But even in the choices that did not honor God, God remained faithful to them. And he showed the people around the Israelites his devotion to his people. And we look at the gift and the provision of the manna. We might read it at first glance as, okay, he gave them this because they were complaining, they want real food, so I'm going to provide. But the gift and provision of manna was much more than just a food supply. The gift of manna revealed one of God's characteristics, his faithfulness. We can see through all the events that God's faithfulness was not dependent on the Israelites. Their behavior and their actions never changed God. Even when they turned their backs on God, God remained faithful. God is unchangeable. Our behaviors and our actions are not going to change him. He's going to be faithful to us no matter what we throw at him. We can't lose his love, and we can't lose his devotion to us. Now, this doesn't mean that we are free to go out and do whatever we want and there'll be no consequences. Because clearly, if we read through the book of Exodus and most of the Old Testament afterwards, you will see how Israel suffered for some of the choices that they made. But even in their suffering, even in the things that they did and caused upon themselves, God was there. God remained faithful. He remained devoted. He never left his people. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:13 that even if we are faithless, he will still be full of faith, for he never wavers in his faithfulness to us. He promises to remain with you, to protect you, to provide for you, to love you. Those are the promises that bring us freedom. Paul says God's faithfulness never wavers. Never means it will not happen. He's never going to stop. And if you believe that God's word is true, then you believe that God will be faithful to keep his promises. And if you can believe that, then you can believe that those promises are for you today. That those same promises that God did for the Israelites are the same promises he promises today. And no matter where you've been, no matter where you are, God hasn't changed. And his faithfulness to fulfill those promises has not changed. And it will not change. And that is what we hold on to. And there is freedom in knowing that God will fulfill his promises. God's faithfulness opens the door for all of our freedom. But it's active. We have to walk through it. There's nothing that we can do to make God less faithful or more faithful. He says, his word says, that he's faithful even if we are faithless. His faithfulness is seen in every moment of your lives, even before you knew him. In your worst moments and in your best moments, God is right there. In your failures and in your successes, God is right there. And in your moments where your faith may waver, God is there. Do not let the enemy pull you into shame or defeat. Do not let the enemy tell you that God's faithfulness is dependent on what you do, that you will never be good enough, that God will leave you because you missed this mark. That's not true, because God is always there with his arms wide open. His word says that when you are weak, he will carry you. When you reach out for him, he will grab your hand and never let you go. When you are broken, he will pick up all those pieces and he will create something brand new. No matter what, Jesus will be there. We don't have to worry about where God is because God is always there. And if you believe that the word of God is true, then you believe God is always there because Jesus told you he would never leave or forsake you. But church, it's time for us to get free. It's time for us to walk through the door that the Lord has opened. It's time to break the bondages and the strongholds that Satan has laid upon us and continues to try to lay on us. It's time that we take them and we lay them down at the foot of the cross. It's time to allow Jesus to come in and heal us and free us from all those things, even those very little things. See, God didn't say, I just want to give you freedom in the big things. It's freedom in all things, even the tiniest thing. It's all things because that's an abundant life. An abundant life is not everything but this. An abundant life is everything. Jesus died on that cross so we could have freedom. But the freedom is a choice. That same freedom was laid before the Israelites and they chose bondage. Now we don't have to lay down our chains. We can carry them. We can burden ourselves. We can carry around these things that were never meant for us. We can break our shoulders. We can be hunched over. We can live like that. God will allow you to choose that. He will not override your choices, but that's not what God wants for you. God wants an abundant life. He wants you standing tall in the full righteousness of Christ Jesus, not hunched over, chained to things that prevent you from having that freedom. Because when he looks at you, you stand tall in the righteousness of Christ. Paul says in Galatians 5:1, and I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. Let me be clear. The Anointed One has set us free, not partially, but completely. And we must cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. Stubbornly refuse to go back. How many of you know something about stubbornness? Well, here God wants to take your stubbornness and he wants to put it to good use to keep you walking in the path of your freedom. Because where Jesus is, there is freedom. And Jesus is in you, so there's freedom there. There is a power in the light of Christ to break every one of those chains that could ever bind to us and keep us from the complete freedom of Christ. Psalm 107:14 says that his light broke through the darkness and led us out in freedom and from death's dark shadows and snapped every one of our chains. Did you hear that? The light of Christ snaps every single one of your chains. How many of us need some chains to snap today? So what is it that you're chained to? Is it fear? Is it anger? Anxiety? The unknown? Addiction? Your past? What robs you of the complete freedom that Jesus longs for you to have? Are you at a place where you can say, I have had enough of these chains? I'm ready to let them go. I want to receive the freedom and the healing, and I want to have the more abundant life that Jesus is offering you. Are you in that place? Because today is your opportunity, and we're going to do something a little bit different today. In your bulletins, there is a piece of blank paper. And I'd like you guys to take that paper out, and I'd like you to write down on that paper, what chains do you need snapped today? They can be big chains. They can be little chains. They can be more than one chain. Whatever it is that you need, the power of the light of Christ to snap, I want you to write that down. And it's very personal between you and God. No one is ever going to see these papers. And then I want you to fold that up, and when we come up for our offering, I want you to place your chains in this basket. And if you are not able to come up, or if you're in different parts of the building, or if you're watching at home, still do this and keep those papers close to your heart. And then after the offering, I'm going to come and I'm going to take this basket and I'm going to lay it right down at the foot of the cross. And I'm going to come and ask Jesus to come and snap these chains. I'm going to invite him in to come and heal us and cleanse us from these things that we've been chained to. To give us strength and to help us stubbornly refuse to ever go back. To even take the desire away, to ever long for the things of old. And then you guys are going to participate in that as well. It's time, church, that we break these chains and walk in the freedom that Christ died for us to have. God sent his Son for you so that you may have life and life more abundantly. You don't have to be afraid to let go because Jesus is right there in the center with you. He has seen it all. Every weight you carry, every fear you hold, every sorrow you've ever had, all of your worries and all of your burdens, he's seen it all. If you open your hands and you lay these chains down, your hands will be wide open to receive all that the Lord has for you. The complete fullness of freedom. The life more abundantly. Can you hear Jesus? Can you hear your Savior calling? Will you choose freedom today? Amen.
Of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits.
I'm going to pray over our offering, and then I'm going to have Nick and Glenn just sing one of the choruses in the, or one of the verses in the choruses again. And I want you to just sit in quietness and stillness of your heart, and I want you to hear the Savior singing that over you. Lord, we come with our heartfelt worship and such thanksgiving for who you are and everything you've done for us. We lift up our tithes and our offerings, Lord, as an act of worship and thankfulness, because you are a God who provides so far above our expectations. So, Father, take this as such a sweet aroma. Multiply it. Use it to further your kingdom on this earth, Lord. Let your will reign and be done on this earth. And let our worship magnify and glorify you through this whole earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bring it all to the table. Nothing he had seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the way.
Ask you to stand because we're going to bring it all to the table. And if you're ready for your chains to snap today, I invite you to hold your hands out and open them so you can release your chains and open to what God has for you. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to be facing the cross, and then I'm going to have you guys join in with me. So, Father, we come before you because of your Son. We can boldly come in your throne room. So we enter in your throne room, Lord, and we just fall on our faces, for you are holy, you are worthy, and you are a God who is faithful to never leave his people, faithful to fulfill his promises. And you said that you sent your Son so that we may have life and life more abundantly. And we come to you, Lord, with our hands open wide because we want that more abundant life. And your word says that the power of the light of Christ can snap every chain. So I come, Lord, and I bring these chains and I leave them at the foot of the cross, and I ask in the name of Jesus that you snap every single one of these chains, that you snap them right this moment, that you fill us with a stubbornness that we would refuse to ever return back to our ways, and that we would not settle for anything less than the complete fullness and freedom that Christ has given us. Even in our moments of faithlessness, Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit to come and encourage us, to strengthen us, to help us to continue to walk in that way. Come, Lord, come. Holy Spirit, come and cleanse our hearts. Bring your healing and your comfort and your peace into those areas that we are laying down at your feet, and cleanse us and make us new. Breathe a fresh new life right now into us. Take the weight and the burden off of our shoulders and help us to stand tall in the righteousness that we are in Christ. And now, church, I ask that you would repeat after me. Lord God, take my chains and snap them in the name of Jesus. Open my heart. Send your healing and your peace. Revive me, Lord. Help me to never return. To hold on to what you have in store for me. And to stubbornly refuse to ever go back. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing our final song. And if you look at the words, there is a part at the end of our song. And this is where you get to shout out your freedom. At the end, in the bridge, oh, we're free. I want you to shout that out with everything in you, that I am free.
Yeah.
there is joy in freedom, and you are all free. Christ came to set you free. Where there is Jesus, there is freedom. Freedom, we have much to celebrate. So go out in this world dancing and rejoicing in the freedom and the chains that have been snapped from you today. Give glory to God for all that He has done in your life, and let the Holy Spirit strengthen you so that you all stubbornly refuse to turn back, and let God's faithfulness shine bright through you to this whole world for the glory of Him. Amen.